from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world via the internet thing. WildMichiganRadio.com. You can pick up our podcast, find out what we've got going on, and find out where we will be, and find out who our great sponsors are, like our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. They have been down for a couple of days because they're implementing their new point of sale system, and they should be back up and running. If they're not back up and running already, watch them on the Facebook, and they'll have all that information, or check them out at NotJustGuns.com. They are making, I mean, they had to go through and inventory everything all over again, which is a monumental task when you realize how much stuff is in that place and how much stuff they have access to. So make sure you check them out. Also, our good friends at Conquest Sense, Doug and Karen Roberts, great people, with the Evercom, the VS1, and a whole line of products and some new things that I know about that I can't talk about yet. Okay, yet. But I've been seeing all over Facebook that the deer season is coming memes. I mean, you guys are getting as bad as Halloween decorations in the Walmart in July, okay? It's coming. It'll be here. Just relax. Our good friend Tom Nelson, the American Archer, joins us right now. He has been hosting the television show on the Outdoor Channel for more decades. I can count the decades, but it's been a long time. He joins us right now on the show. Tom, how are you, sir?
Good, Duran. Great to be here today.
It's always great having you, man. We were just reminiscing about how your daughter just had a birthday and how old she is now. We never talk about age with women, but we're just going back, going, gosh, have we really known each other that long? And the answer is yes, undeniably yes.
Yeah, that's a fact. And you know, all good memories, but it just shows how time flies, as the adage goes. But, geez, so Pete, I wish I could gather a few of them and go back in time a bit and do some things over, but, you know, it's been a good ride. But, again, shows how quickly time passes by, so best take advantage of it and live your life to the fullest.
Absolutely. I tell my daughter, she's 23, I say, don't blink, because I did that with you, and look, you're 23. So, yeah. And you know, when you look at time and what stands the test of time, very few things in the world of the old school rod and gun club or the archery club have stood the test of time and modernization. But Thorny Acres out in Elsie, Michigan, a fantastic little club tucked out off of French Road, has done just that. They've been there for a long time, Tom.
Oh, yeah. You're talking 40 years plus now, and it has survived the test of time, because so many little sportsmen's clubs and archery clubs have failed, especially in the last 20 years, especially in the last 10 years. I can count them. They're popping into my head right now, different clubs that have went away because of lack of support. And Thorny Acres, you know, a local archery club here in mid-Michigan, seems to keep trugging along, and it's because of support from their members and from holding these fundraisers, such as this upcoming 3D shoot that I'm sponsoring. Again, it's all about raising some money and keeping these clubs afloat.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the website, real quickly, thornyacres.org, is where you can find them. And they are a member-owned club out in Elsie on French Road. And I've shot that course numerous times. It is a fun course. It's a challenging course, but not one that you really need to worry about losing your $15, $20 arrows. I mean,
That's a fact.
It's good, but I don't think I've lost but maybe one out there, and that was completely on my error.
Yes. You know, there's some clubs, and I do a fair amount of 3D shooting. There's some clubs that are difficult as far as their range and quite challenging, and oftentimes you come away pretty humbled. And one thing I'll say about the Thorny Acres range is that all the shots are doable. They're all realistic as far as distance-wise. You're shooting at 3D animal targets, deer, boar, elk, etc. You come away feeling good about yourself. I mean, again, you're not taking some 55-yard shot through the brush, you know, through a little shooting lane, arrows ricocheting or lost. It's a user-friendly course. It's a course you can take your wife. You can take your friend who's a novice and hasn't done much shooting. You can take the kids, and everybody will come back having a great time. And I like that. It's a good confidence-building course.
It is. There's various level elevated platforms. There's sitting shacks. I mean, it's all 100% realistic shots that you may take in the realm of hunting. And, you know, it really is something to get you prepped for October 1st.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's one thing about 3D shooting. You know, you're shooting at a animal target. You don't have a big backstop as far as to stop the arrow, so you really have to concentrate, pick a spot, concentrate on a kill area, unlike shooting at a bullseye target. So it is, and when you walk through a course like that, that you don't have the distance memorized, such as perhaps in your backyard where you're shooting and you know, okay, this is exactly 20 yards, 20-yard pin, this is 40 yards, I use my 40-yard pin. When you're walking through an unmarked course like that, you know, you have to use your knowledge as far as guesstimating distances. And there's nothing like that as far as practice-wise. It's so good to get out there, shoot at unmarked distances, you know, guesstimate the yardage, take the shot. Yes, I was right on. Nope, I should have aimed a little higher, things like that. That's great practice that you don't get every day.
I agree. Tom Nelson joins us here on Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can follow Tom, the American Archer, on Facebook, and me as well with Wild Michigan. Tom, you know, you really brought up an important part, because doing that without the rangefinder with your friends is so important for not only a confidence builder, but an overall skill set building, because, I mean, these are shots that may present themselves every day in the outdoors. Mind you, we may not see a leopard or whatever else they have out there at Thorny Acres, but it's all about placement and knowing where that vital area is when it comes time to take that shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need to know where to aim, where to shoot. You know, what the kill area is, what the difference between a shot in the vitals versus a non-lethal hit. So that's all good as far as teaching you to pick that spot. And talk, you know, you mentioned rangefinders and such. I carry one every time I go afield. But you don't always have time to, okay, here comes a deer, this buck, he's chasing a doe. You know, you don't have time to grab the rangefinder, range find him, he's moving again, he stops, he's moving again, he stops. So you're way better off if you practice range guesstimation and get good at it. Get good so that you can make those quick judgments. Okay, that's 32 yards. Draw back and shoot. Or the deer stops, you have 2 seconds, that's 18 yards. Make a shot. And that just comes from experience. That comes from practice. And such. And again, no better place to get it than going to a 3D range, because you don't always have that minute or two to grab the rangefinder out of the pocket, sight in on the critter, push the button, look at the yardage, draw back, and make a shot. That's a perfect situation, perfect scenario. That's great if all that can happen. But more often than not, at least from my experience, you don't have time to go through all that.
All right, Saturday, July 23rd, Sunday, July 24th, both starting at 9 a.m., Thorny Acres Sportsman's Club on French Road in Elsie. We're going to talk more with Tom Nelson coming up next on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Being driven by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street, 127 in Mason. Find us online with the podcast and all the other pertinent information about the show at wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to our good man, Nathan Vandenberg, for getting us moving. We now call him the Cat Daddy around here. I'm just the only one that calls him that, but he was very kind and took a couple of our fostered kittens this week. So, hey, if you know anybody that's looking for a couple of cute kittens, I know a guy. That's all I'm saying. But we're going to get back right now to Tom Nelson, the American Archer, on the Conquest Sense hotline. And we are covering the big event coming up July 23rd and 24th. In Elsie, the Thorny Acres Sportsman's Club. Tom is going to be hosting and hosting, because you'll be there with a ton of prizes for this ginormous fundraiser that helps keep Thorny Acres going. This is their big one, because the COVID thing kept people indoors for whatever reason. Yeah, I'm not going to go into it about going outside, but, you know, we had to be separated, and we are now finally able to congregate outdoors where we belong. And so many people, Tom, have picked up archery. It's a whole new world. We want to get them involved in 3D shooting to let them know how exciting this is.
That's correct. This is a big, big fundraiser for them, that biggest of the year. And this is what keeps them afloat, bringing people in for the shoot, people participating, people buying hot dogs, et cetera. I've been a member of this club forever. And so I want to do my part and try to bring in people. And I help sponsor. I supply the door prizes for the weekend and such. And there are some great door prizes. If you attend, you have probably a 90% chance you're going to walk away with some sort of door prize while you're there. And I mean, there's some fabulous door prizes. So I urge you all to come out, help support this club. Let's keep it afloat, keep it going, because without this support, they're going to go away and there won't be a place to go shoot and go on weekends and 3D shoot. So this club's pretty dear to my heart, and I've been a big backer of it for a long time. And come on out and see me. I love talking bow hunting. Come out, share your stories. We'll fling some arrows and shoot the breeze, but stop out. I'll be out both days, so I'll be there.
Yeah, it's always a good time. I've participated in this shoot and the other 3D shoots out at Thorny Acres a number of times. It is a fantastic facility. It is member owned, and there are all such great people out there. You know, it's been a while, but it's still, you know, I want to encourage you guys, if you've never even shot 3D before, do not be afraid to go, because there's so many people out there to even help you, because all the members out there are very kind and want to see people succeed in this sport.
Oh, absolutely. They're great members at the club. They want you to come back, so they're going to treat you well. They can help you. I'll be there. I can give you some pointers as far as getting started, but come on out. Novice, veteran, it doesn't matter. And especially if you are a novice, I can't think of a better course if you haven't shot, participated in a 3D shoot before. This is the course to go to. It's marked well, easy to get around. All the shots are doable. You'll have a blast. Let me leave you with that. You'll have a great time.
And real quickly, Tom, I've got to ask, are they still doing the trick shot stuff, like the skunk game and then the ping pong ball?
There's a novice. Yeah. Yep. There's always some novelty shoots that, as Duran said, shooting at a moving ping pong ball, a running deer. There's some really fun novelty shoots there also that you can participate in.
I tell you what, they are a small club with a great big heart, and they are lots of fun. And trust me, that bouncing ping pong ball on the air, that's my favorite thing in the world, because when you whack that ping pong ball, it's just kind of bouncing up and down, you feel like $1 million. Trust me, it's worth that alone, but you need to get out there. Tom Nelson is our guest.
And if I remember right, you always do very well with that, too.
I did. I've got quite a few ping pong balls with holes in them. They're all on one arrow now because you can't save them all. But absolutely, that's one of my favorites. But real quickly, Tom, since everybody thinks deer season is like tomorrow, let's talk a little bit about trail cam hanging, because we're really starting to see some antler growth. We've seen a couple come through our area, just in my backyard and stuff. They're starting to kind of sprout up, and this year with the heat and everything else, we've had a pretty good year for antler growth.
We have, you know, with the wet spring, that's always good for as far as for antler development. And now, you know, it's July. This is, I mean, they're putting on an inch a day as far as antler growth right now. So they're growing rapidly, really starting to become defined, where you can see, okay, that's going to be a big 8, or that's a 10, or that's going to be a 40 for that matter. But yes, they are. This is a fun time to be watching deer and inventorying the bucks in your area.
Now, you've always had kind of a rule of thumb when it comes to hanging trail cameras, because we got to remember, deer are not that tall.
That's right. I always like to hang my cameras about waist level, and that seems to work best for me. Remember, everybody's not the same height, but a lot of guys and gals hang their trail cameras too high. That happens all the time, and so it's important to practice. And it doesn't hurt to take up, you know, set your camera, bend over, walk through like a deer, and pop that chip. If you're using a chip camera, see what the photo looks like. Or if you're using one of these new cell cameras that are sending the photos to your phone, look at it, walk by, see what you're getting on that before you walk away from your cameras. But as you said, right now is the time you should be out there hanging your cameras if you haven't already done it.
Man, this time of year, it's so fun, because you get out there and you're looking, you want to see what's on the trail cam, just what's coming through or what's in your area, and then come fall, the big guess is, Tom, will they be there when you're ready?
That's a fact, and you have to remember, right now, especially with whitetail bucks, they're in velvet, their antlers are growing, and they're really sensitive. And the core range, their home range right now, is small. Those bucks don't move a lot. They don't want to injure their antlers. They don't have to move far. So they're living in probably less than 300-acre home area right now. But when fall comes, when they become hard-horned, that quadruples. They might be 2-3 miles away. When fall comes. That's not to say they're not returning to their home range, but they just expand to a much bigger, broader area. So, yes, just because you're seeing them all summer doesn't mean you're going to have them walk by you come fall.
No, that's so true. Tom Nelson, host of the American Archer on the Outdoor Channel, joining us right now. You can find him. We got a link to Tom on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And Tom, let's argue semantics here for just a minute. Hard-horned is just a term for those people that like to get technical. We know their antlers. We know they fall off. We know they get replaced. Okay, we know the difference. But it's just a term, right? Let's not get crazy.
Correct.
Tom Nelson.
It sounds better than hard antlered.
Hard antlered, right, because it sounds more like something else. Tom Nelson, thank you so much, man. We appreciate your expertise. Thorny Acres, their big event's going to happen July 23rd, 24th. Look them up online, thornyacres.org, with Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to each and every one of you, law enforcement, firefighters, military, any of the people out there keeping us safe, we greatly appreciate you and your service to this community and all the communities you serve, as well as those who have served. We thank you a great deal. God bless. Being brought to you today by our friends at Conquest Sense, makers of VS1, also the Danger Zone. If you need something to keep the rabbits and the other little fur-bearing animals away from your hosta, your perennials, your garden, whatever, they have something called Danger Zone. Look them up online, conquestsense.com. It's scents in a stick. You apply it to a stick. It keeps the scent, keeps those animals away. Believe me, it works. I've used it, and I didn't have those invasive critters coming back into my area anymore. But they've been helping us here on the show, and we really appreciate them. So check them out online, conquestsense.com. And via the Conquest Sense hotline right now, we have Mark Sack. Mark, I'm going to give you again a little scenario. My wife and I were out in Holt at one of our parks here in Delhi Township, and it has a large body of water on it and a cool kayak launching thing that you can go take your kayak down there, launch your kayak from there, and kind of paddle around this body of water. But as we were looking out, taking pictures for a brochure she's working on, I happened to see this bit of activity on the top of the water that was not a muskrat or any of the other fur-bearing swimmers. It wasn't a duck. It was most likely crappie. And I know there are some monster crappie in this body of water. Tell me I'm wrong.
You know, my lake has crappie in it. So I am a crappie guy. I love crappie. They are my favorite because they're like giant bugs down there. They get this huge mouth that feed up. I call them butterflies, actually, because they're just so beautiful and especially the big ones, you know. And, you know, I've told people forever and ever, there's three places that you catch them. At the bottom of the break, wherever that is, if it's 10 to 12 feet, at right under the ice, I'd tell people, you are not fishing under the ice enough. Well, in your situation over there, it's not ice, but obviously those fish are right at the surface. And they do that. They slurp, man. They love to slurp bugs, you know. And then suspended, and they're always suspended. Mm-hmm. Like now we've got a thermocline setting up, and so you'll see them start to set up just above that thermocline at 16 to 20 feet or wherever your thermocline in your lake is. So, you know, those are the first places to start. Obviously, you know, you've got something going on the surface over there. So, you know, I have fly rotted crappies many, many times, and they will go crazy over it. Another bait that works really well is the Storm Hopper Popper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever, this thing is awesome. It's a little tiny 1-inch grasshopper that has a concaved lip on the front, like a hula popper. It's real small. Every fish in the lake will hit that thing. Every single one. So if you've got crappies on the surface out there, it is a topwater bait. You know, you actually will take your rod and you will tug your rod underneath and reel it back, and it'll pop, 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 pop all the way back. You will get so much action on that, it'll blow your mind. You know, might be a little tougher with a kayak, obviously, because you don't have that ability to put that rod straight down. So you'll be pulling to the side with it in real short little jerks, you know. But the other thing, obviously, I think the number one way to catch crappie in any lake is to troll for them. And we've done it. I did an article, and it's been a few years now. It was my father-in-law that had really shown me how this works so well, and he's been gone for 15 years, so it tells you how long ago this article was. And I called it High Traffic Crappies. And in the video, or in the picture, you can see a jet ski running through the back of the picture. And my father-in-law is trolling across with his little 14-foot Lund with his electric trolling motor. And I'm telling you what, the man could pop them. He could put them in the boat. And crappie, they are notorious for chasing down minnows. you know. Mm-hmm. So what he would do is he'd put a 1/32nd ounce crappie jig. It was pink head, white hair on the jig. He'd put a minnow on it. He'd cast it out as far as he could. He'd strip about four extra lengths, and he'd go about as slow as he could with the trolling motor. I'm telling you, you will hit all kinds of fish doing that. And crappies just can't leave that. They cannot leave that alone. They just can't do it. So you'll find out how big they are in there when you start, you know, using those different techniques, because, you know, I've been really catching some great crappie lately, and I've been bass fishing. And
right.
I actually use my bass setup. You know, I've got actually a crawdad that I'm using, and I put a just a split shot about a foot above it, and I cast it right to the break. The last three times I've went, first fish I've caught was a big crappie right on the break. You know, so I think this high water that we've had in my area anyways has really helped the crappies. It's, you know, because you get that low stagnant water, it's not really a good, you know, it's not good to fish in, and the fish, they seem to move deeper to try to get some better oxygenated water.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had beautiful water this year. I mean, our lake is just gorgeous right now, and it doesn't have any algae on it. And, you know, it's just really good, clean water right now. So really those fish are really top to bottom. We'll have a thermocline start to set on our lake. So be mindful of that thermocline too. And you can see that on your graph. You'll see it it looks like little black dots that form a line mm-hmm. across your graph. That's actually thicker water, and it's the thermocline setting up. So, you know, be mindful of that and look for where that thermocline hits shallower water, and you'll hit where that, you know, that bottom starts to set up just above that thermocline is a very, very good spot to fish too.
Mark Sack joins us here, outdoor writer and good friend of the show. Speaking of crappie fishing, and when I was doing one of the Bassmaster Classics, hosting the expo at the Dick's Sporting Goods booth, I remember one of the pros saying, you know, the biggest crappie I ever caught was when I was doing a bass tournament.
Oh yeah,
and you know, I mean, we had so many of these pros go through. You had, you know, Mr. Crappie Wally Marshall go through, who's a big vertical jigging guy, which we'll get to that in the next segment, because, I know my cousin goes down to Kentucky for those big slab crappies all the time. That's I'm not sure the lake. It might be Kentucky Lake that he goes down to. But, it's very popular down south. I don't think it's as popular here, and I don't know why, because they are a great fish to catch. They're fun. They fight well. You got to be a little careful bringing them in, because they have a very thin mouth. The membrane around their mouth holding that all in is kind of thin. But again, man, you get a big one on. They are beautiful fish.
They are. And they're bass, remember.
Right.
They are bass. They're speckled bass. So, you know, basically, you bend your hook out a little bit so you can catch that paper mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you will. I mean, you can miss more crappies than shake a stick at. I mean, it's, you know, and that's especially true in the wintertime. There's nothing more frustrating than, you know, missing four big crappies that are sitting right below you. And you know, unless they're extremely aggressive, they usually don't come back.
Right.
once you rip a hook up through their mouth, you know, they're saying, I think I'll wait for the next minnow.
Yeah, wait a little bit longer. So,
but I'll tell you another, I'll wait till the second segment to give you a really good tip on another way to fish them that is very similar to jigging too.
All right, Mark Sack is joining us here on Wild Michigan. Make sure you hit us up on the podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up the podcast anywhere, really, you know, like iTunes, or just Google Wild Michigan Radio, or Google my name, Duran Martinez. You'll find it. Very simple. More coming your way with Mark Sack here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Mm-hmm. You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the Great Lakes State, all over the world, via our podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick it up for free from about anywhere. Just you can search us, search Wild Michigan, search my name, and you'll find it. And, I mean, there's literally like 50 places that carry the podcast, and I'm thankful to each and every one of them. But the direct one to our website is at wildmichiganradio.com, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. And also, don't forget, the Tom Nelson shoot is going to happen at Thorny Acres Archery Club in Elsie, Michigan, the 23rd and 24th of this month. Tom will be out there. Lots of great prizes. A very good chance at winning prizes, 3D shoot and novelty shoots as well, and lots of food and fun. So if you've never been, I encourage you to check out the link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Back to Mark Sack. We were talking crappie. We're still talking crappie. And we were talking, Mark, about kind of setting that hook out on your bait, whatever it is you're using, just a little bit, kind of bending it out, so the catch is a little bit easier on these fish.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it's especially when you're using a small hook. I mean, a lot of times in the summer, I'm still using teardrops, and I really love, because they're such prolific bug eaters too. You know, I like to use some of the ice jigs that have some hair on them. Like Northland has a couple really nice jigs. It looks like a larva, and it has, you know, hair twisted just below the jig head on it. And every one of those, I just take my fingernail clipper, which I use as a line cutter, you know, mm-hmm. and just put it on that hook straight up and just bend it out a little bit. And, you know, you'll hook up twice as many fish with that hook bent out a little bit. And it's easier to get the hook out of the fish too. I mean, because it is bent out. So it's easier, you know, when you've got one that's bent in, you know, now you've got to try to pull that out. And so it's less stress on the fish as well if you're going to do catch and release. But it also, it just makes hookups better. You know, another thing that I was going to mention to you, when you're seeing those fish on the surface, you know, one of the most probably favorite ways for years and years and years on crappies is using the clear bobber and, mm-hmm. and putting, you know, your jig, like I was saying, that 1/32nd ounce, pink and white haired jig underneath it, 18 inches or 2 feet or whatever, and slowly pulling that bobber across the surface, just jerking it back slowly, letting it settle, jerking it back slowly, letting it settle. That's what we do, you know, in early spring, and it's been done that way for 100 years, you know. But that will also work for those fish that you're seeing on the surface out there that are feeding on bugs, you know. And you can use a wax worm on that jig, or you can use a minnow on that jig, and it'll work great. I also have a setup in my boat that I have all the time ready to roll, and it's a slip bobber rig. You know, mm-hmm. and slip bobbers are just, they're wonderful, because I can still get those crappies if they're suspended down in 16 feet. You know, I can still go after them. And remember, when you're fishing crappies, you're jigging up. So you can actually pull that line up through that slip bobber slowly, pull it back towards the boat. I mean, it will come back towards the boat, obviously, as you're pulling it, but you're jigging up with it. It's still coming up as you bring it back. And those crappies, if they're anywhere near feeding, you know, actively, they're going to chase that thing down and kill it. So, you know, I think we've just mentioned 5 or 6 ways mm-hmm. that you can approach those fish over there. Obviously, you know, as we get later on in the summer, perch minnows are getting tougher and tougher to come by. So, you know, that's why, you know, I don't have an issue in the world going to wax worms. They're getting more prolific. I'll tell you another thing, and I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before, but you can go to PetSmart now and you can pick up crickets, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and as we hit August, you know, it is terrestrial time. It is time for crickets and grasshoppers.
Right.
So, you know, you can get those things. I mean, they stock them for all their critters that they feed over there, I guess, you know, salamanders and snakes and all that stuff. I go in there and get them for bluegills and crappie.
Mark Sack joining us here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Mark, you mentioned the storm of the Hopper Popper earlier. Is that the correct name for it? Rebel also makes a small cricket. Very much like that, but it does not have the concave face. It is a black, small, about half inch long cricket that is a topwater bait, and I have caught everything from bass to walleye. Believe it or not, walleye around that dusk time at Houghton Lake, I have pulled in more walleye topwater with that thing. Then, you know, it was really surprising to catch them because everybody's always bouncing for them, trolling for them. But believe me, in the right area, like where I was fishing the mouth of the Cut River, where they come in to feed, topwater, that thing was just killer for the walleye there. And, you know, and who knew?
Right. Well, you're not going to know until you try it, but I can tell you what, any lure like that, that's going to be small. It's going to be a topwater. If you impart the right action on it, it'll be huge. So, and most times I'll run braid on that, but I'll still run a fluorocarbon leader on it. Mm-hmm. So small swivel, barrel swivel connected to a, leader of about 18 inches to 2 foot. And then small snap on the end so I can change those lures out quickly. And it gives it, that snap will really give that lure some really good action too. Whereas now you could do a Rapala knot on it, which is kind of a loop at the end, you know, so you still have action, or you just put a clip on it, just a mm-hmm. snap, you know, and it'll still get good action on that. The issue obviously is you don't have to tie. And when you get older like me, you know, it takes you longer to tie it than it is anything. So, you know, I'll tell you what, they're just absolutely dynamite. You just got to try them, folks. It's just wonderful.
Mark Sack is our guest here on Wild Michigan via the Conquest Sense Hotline. Mark, you know, when you said that, I got a vision of talking to Babe Winkleman one time when he was saying that he would always turn his, you know, when he was younger, he was turning his back to the guys on the boat. You know, and they all thought he had some secret lure or something he was putting on. He said what he was doing is he put down his readers and didn't want them to see that he had to wear glasses to tie a knot. So I mean, look, man, there's a lot of Winkleman stories. I'm sure you have plenty, but I mean, that guy is just, I mean, he's been great. Just, you know, I mean, I've got a million stories about him and all of them good. Such a fun guy to talk to.
Think about how many fish that guy's caught.
Oh yeah.
I mean, holy macro, you know, I mean, all the years that he did that television show, and then he started the hunting show on top of it. And I did meet him several times because he used to come through the Detroit fishing show circuit down here.
Mm hmm.
So it was probably the Silver Dome or, you know, I mean, we used to have so many fishing shows here. We had one at the Palace. We had, you know, obviously the Novi shows were still going back then. And it was the Outdoorama. So it might have been Outdoorama even that I met him at the first time. But, very, very interesting guy for sure.
Oh yeah, you know, and I'm not telling tales out of school to say that one time we were at he was probably at the SHOT Show, and we were sitting there after the show at one of the hotels where everybody gathers, having a beverage, and I look and there's this table full of Mick Ultras. they were majority of them full, and after just a short bit of conversation, I looked and they were pretty much gone.
Not surprising.
Dude can put a beer away.
I think I might have seen that too. Well, yeah, you know, those good old, you know, Wisconsin guys and Minnesota guys.
Big old Minnesota boy like that. Yeah. And just, I mean, you know, what a fun guy to talk to. And, you know, it's been a little while, but, He's a handful.
Yep, I bet he still is too. I bet he still is.
So what do you got going on? You said you put a food plot, your food plots in. You just got those in?
Got my whitetail plots in yesterday, so a little ahead of the game, but wanted to make sure that I could do it while I had some good moisture in the ground yet, and we had just got a good rain here, and I had already worked it up. So went back and broadcast it and run over it with I use a fence with big blocks of wood on it to run over it to kind of get it a little depth anyways, because I don't use a planter. I broadcast it. But sure. I'll tell you what, that's my latest article in Woods and Water News, is warming up for whitetails. And we've only got 2 months, man.
So right on.
Coming.
There it is. There's another one. Whitetail season's upon us. Mark Sack, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us here on the show. Thanks also to Tom Nelson, the American Archer, July 23rd, 24th, and Elsie at the Sportsman's Club, the Thorny Acre Sportsman's Club. Thanks to Not Just Guns, thanks to Conquest Sense, and thanks to you, the listener, for checking us out here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.